An Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales. Book 3, Containing Rules for the Practice of Virtue. Chapter 1, On the Selection of Virtues to be Practiced. The queen bee never settles in a hive without being surrounded by her swarm, and charity never takes possession of a heart without bringing in her train all other virtues, exercising them and bringing them into play as a general his troops. But she does not call them forth suddenly all at once, nor in all times and places. The good man is like a tree planted by the waterside that will bring forth his fruit in due season. Because when a soul is watered by charity, she brings forth good works seasonably and with discretion. That music which in gladness rejoices our hearts is an intrusion in a time of heaviness. There are some who make a great mistake in striving after some special virtue by acting upon it at unsuitable times. They are like those philosophers of old who insisted on always laughing or always crying. And what is worse, such persons find fault with those who differ from them. The apostle bids us weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And charity is patient, benevolent, generous, prudent, and kind. But there are some virtues of universal application, and which should infuse their own spirit into everything. We have but rarely opportunities for the practice of courage, magnanimity, and great sacrifices. But every action of our daily life should be influenced by gentleness, temperance, humility, and purity. Some qualities may be more eminent, but these are the most needed. Sugar is more agreeable than salt, but salt is in much more universal requirement. Therefore, we should be rich in these everyday virtues, of which we stand in such perpetual need. We ought always to give the preference to those virtues which are most incumbent on us, and not to those which are most agreeable to our inclinations. St. Paula took delight in the practice of bodily mortification, thereby enhancing her spiritual consolations. But obedience to her superior was a higher duty, and therefore St. Jerome allows that she was wrong in fasting immoderately, contrary to the direction of her bishop. So the apostles, who were commissioned to preach the gospel and feed the souls of men with the bread of life, rightly judged that they must not forsake this duty in order to minister to the bodily needs of the poor, although in itself that was so sacred a duty. Every station in life imposes some peculiar obligation. Different virtues are incumbent upon a bishop, a prince, or a soldier. The wife has her duties, and the widow hers. And although all should practice every virtue, still each should seek chiefly to advance in those peculiarly required by the state of life to which God has called him. Amongst the virtues not especially involved by our position, we should cultivate the most excellent rather than the most showy. Comets, ordinarily, appear larger than the stars and attract our eyes more. But they are not really to be compared to the stars either in grandeur or quality. They only appear larger to us because they are so much nearer the earth, and their substance is less pure than that of the stars. In the same way, There are some virtues which approach our senses, and are, so to say, material, and are therefore highly esteemed and preferred by ordinary men, who thus will exalt temporal almsgiving above spiritual, or fasting and discipline and bodily mortifications above gentleness, cheerfulness, modesty, and other acts of discipline of the heart, which are in truth greatly preferable. Do you, Philothea, seek the highest virtues, not those most lauded, the best, not the most obvious, the truest, not the most showy? It is a good practice to select some particular virtue at which to aim, not neglecting the others, but in order to give regularity and method to the mind. There appeared once to St. John, Bishop of Alexandria, a beautiful virgin arrayed in royal robes, shining brighter than the sun, and crowned with an olive wreath. She spoke to him, saying, "I am the king's eldest daughter, and if you will make me your friend, I will lead you into his presence." Then he knew that this was God himself teaching him to have mercy upon Christ's poor. And from that time he devoted himself to the practice of that virtue, so that he has always been known as St. John the Almsgiver. Eulogius the Alexandrian, seeking especially to dedicate himself to God, and not having resolution either to embrace the solitary life or perpetual obedience, brought a wretched diseased man into his house as an occasion for practicing charity and mortification, vowing to serve and honor him as a servant does his Lord. After a while, both parties being disposed to separate, they referred their case to St. Anthony the Great, St. Anthony the Abbot, who replied, "Beware, my sons, that you do not part, having so nearly approached the end of your journey. For if the angel of death does not find you together, both are in danger of losing their crowns." The king, St. Louis, regularly visited his hospitals and ministered with his own hands to the sick. St. Francis loved poverty above all things, calling her his bride. St. Dominic specially devoted himself to preaching, and hence the name of the order of preachers, the Dominicans. St. Gregory the Great took great delight in receiving pilgrims, imitating therein the patriarch Abraham, and like him, receiving the King of Glory under a pilgrim's form. Tobit adopted the charitable habit of burying the dead. Saint Elizabeth of Hungary loved to set aside her royal independence by the entire subjection of herself and her whole will. When Saint Catherine of Genoa became a widow, she devoted herself to serving in the hospital. Cassian relates how a certain devout woman, desiring to practice the virtue of patience, had recourse to St. Athanasius, who assigned her as a companion a poor widow of a fretful, irritable, passionate temper, who, rendering herself almost insupportable to the pious maiden, afforded her ample scope for the practice of forbearance and gentleness. So, amongst the servants of God, some have devoted themselves to tending the sick, some to visiting the poor, others to the advancement of Christ's religion amongst little children, others to the restoration of lost and wandering souls, some to the special care of the church and the altars, others to the promotion of peace and concord amongst men. Thus they resemble embroiderers who work their gold and silver and silk onto various materials, thereby producing all manner of beautiful flowers. For these pious souls, who adopt some special practice of devotion, use it as the groundwork whereon they embroider countless other virtues, thus regulating and giving method to all their good works and affections, by means of this their chief object, and arraying their soul in a vesture of gold brought about with divers colors. If we are hindered by some particular vice, we should, as far as possible, strive to cultivate the opposing virtue, making all things tend toward it. For by this means we shall subdue the enemy, and not cease to advance in all virtue. If I am specially tempted by pride or anger, I must above all things seek to practice humility and gentleness, and call in my other devout acts of prayers, the sacraments, prudence, perseverance, and temperance, to my aid. For even as the wild boar whets his tusks by the help of his other teeth, they say, thereby sharpening them also, so the good man who seeks to perfect himself in that virtue of which he stands most in need should whet and sharpen it by the practice of other virtues, which will thus themselves become stronger and brighter. So it was with Job, who, while specially seeking to learn patience under temptation, became very holy and established in all other goodness. And St. Gregory Nazianzen says that, by the help of one virtue heartily practiced, men may attain to all holiness. Instancing Rahab, who, having practiced the duty of hospitality, received such glory from God. But for this we require great devotion and exceeding fervor and charity. End of chapter 1 of book 3.